May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 339. O my distrustful heart, how small thy faith appears, but greater, Lord, thou art than all my doubts and fears. Did Jesus once upon me shine? Then Jesus is forever mine. Hymn 339.
read together from the most holy word of God from John's Gospel in the fourth chapter, reading down to verse 42. John's Gospel in the fourth chapter, reading down to verse 42. When, therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marvelled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look to the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labour. Other men laboured, and ye are entered into their labour. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us a reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most merciful, ever gracious and almighty Lord God, do we please to solemnize our hearts and minds now, we plead, that we might rightly approach unto thee, thou who art most holy. A holy and a heart-searching God. And none of us can say we've been without sin. Oh, even this one that stands up in thy name, we have much we mourn over, much we confess. But all that might come, like the apostle of old, ah, yes, there is that we mourn over, that which we feel of the old man. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is our only plea as we venture to approach unto our holy God even now. We have nothing to bring, no righteousness, no merit, and it is nothing in our hands to bring, but simply to thy cross to cling. Naked come to thee for dress, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, ere I die. And oh, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. We venture then pleading for Jesus' sake, pleading his righteousness, pleading his merit, pleading his the satisfied law, pleading his precious blood, that sin-atoning blood. Oh, do wash us every whit and make us clean. Plunge us in that crimson ocean. Ah, oh, what a mercy that that fountain is still open. Ah, oh, it still flows. And oh, we have to venture again and again, do we not, unto this fountain open for all sin and uncleanness. Oh, Lord, we venture again even now. So, Lord, do receive us graciously. Ah, look upon us in and through thy precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to be clothed then with that robe which thou hast wrought. Oh, Lord, if we've got anything of our own on, that which is our own making, Lord, strip it from us. And clothe us with that robe which Christ hath wrought, that might be it is he instead of me is seen. When I approach to God. O Lord, do then have mercy upon us each. Lord, thou knowest how we're found in thy courts. Ah, and if there are those yet dead and unconcerned, oh, put forth thy hand this day. Arrest them in their mad career. Oh, bring them to that time of want. Oh, even this day they might have to enter into their closet and smite upon their breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, thou knowest how it was with some of us. We were found in thy courts, ah, yes, from the babe in arms. And how many years we sat there, we were as dead as the seat we sat upon. We had no concern, but only for the things of time. We sought to make a name for ourselves in the earth, building castles here below. But ah, what a mercy, thus far thou shalt go no further, thou didst put forth thy hand, thou didst send forth thy word like the that arrow in a sure place. That arrow of conviction, I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay thy hand, or say, what doest thou? And so, Lord, if it could please thee this day, here or elsewhere in Zion, those who by their very birth are appointed unto death, might be quickened into that newness of life. Ah, save from that eternal death. Ah, redeem from the hand of the enemy. Ah, Lord, The work is thine, the power is thine. O Lord, who work mightily in Zion, we plead this day. Lord, has there been that travailing in Zion? Has there been that travailing in Zion by the mothers and fathers in Israel? Lord, we read, do we not, when Zion travailed, she brought forth, and all that might travail more. For, O Lord, Zion is ministered and brought low. Ah, yes, in our day, in this nation, is it not, as a departing from the truth, a turning aside from thee, and thy word is trodden underfoot, thy day is desecrated, and how few attend the solemn feast. O Lord, who stir us up, Lord, we plead, and there may be then that true travailing in Zion. There might be those signs following the preaching of the word, those brought forth to the birth. And so, Lord, do remember the little hill of Zion here, but all the little hills of Zion throughout this nation and throughout the earthly ball. Lord, we plead that thou wouldest strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die, that thou wouldest send forth thy servants this day by the power of the Spirit, and might declare the things of God. They might preach forth precious Christ, laying the sinner low. There might be that wrought in Zion then this day that will strengthen those things that are ready to die. Strengthen those things which remain and those things which are ready to die. That there might be that wrought in Zion this day, whereby the new song might be put in the mouth, that song of rejoicing. Lord, do be pleased then to open the mouth. Lord, thou knowest those that wait daily at thy gates, at the post of thy doors. Perhaps they waited many, many months, even years there, like that one at Bethesda's pool, 38 years. There has been that wrought in them. They wait for thy appearing. They wait for that time of deliverance. They wait for that time of perfect healing. Lord, may it please thee, that might be this day. Then will it not be. Lord, it was with this poor sinner. Only thou canst do it, but Lord, do it for others, we plead. Lord, thou knowest, and those that are like Ruth of old, they've come again into the field of their heavenly Boaz. It might be this day. Ruth, was she not united to Boaz? Lord, as that one, Lord, thou knowest where they are. They long to be united to their heavenly Boaz, brought into the banqueting house where thy banner over them is love. So, Lord, do be pleased to work it this day. May it please thee, that thou wouldest bring that one that has waited and longed and hoped. It may be that day, the banqueting house. That banner over them is love. And Lord, may it please thee that thou hast then opened the mouth. Lord, we know in our own case we were dumb, we couldn't speak until that time when thou didst open our mouth. And there we had then to testify of those things which the Lord had done. There we could, we rejoiced, and the very stones would have cried out if we had not testified. Lord, may it please thee. Work mighty then. Do some poor sinner good this day and set them free. Lord, they're like Lazarus of old when he is called forth from the tomb. Yes, is that life? Measure of life, a measure of liberty, but not that full liberty. He came forth, did he not, still bound with those grave clothes of sin and death, until thou didst give the command, loose him. Let him go. All that might be then this day, loose him, loose her, let them go. Then the mouth of the dumb shall speak, and shall show forth the praise of Almighty God. They shall show forth the praise of a precious Christ who has done all things well. Lord, then, do favour Zion, we plead. But Lord, remember each one that has ventured into thy courts here this day. They're drawn from the various and varied scenes of life. Lord, each and every one is known to thee. If they're of thine, they are known, their path is known to thee from the beginning to the end. But Lord, thou knowest how we often enter into thy courts, and we're like Martha, bowed down with twice 10,000 cares. The cares of this life seem to be so pressing upon us, ready to crush us in the way. And we're like that woman of old. We're bowed down with that spirit of infirmity and cannot lift ourselves up. But Lord, lift that poor one up. Take that burden off their shoulders, Lord, we plead. Enable them to cast that burden upon thee. Lord, the burden of those things of time, the burden of the pathway of life. Lord, what a mercy it is we have that one, that glorious high priest, that advocate with the Father, a precious Christ, verily God, verily man, that now sitteth on the right hand of the Father, that knows our very case and is able to compassionate it. But that one to whom we can go, let us therefore. Oh, that might be the encouragement of one even this morning. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, thou knowest the needs of each one then. From the very youngest, Lord, perhaps as that one, a child, as a need, a burden, a trial, a difficulty in the way. Didst thou not say, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not? So, Lord, even that young one, that very child, that little one, never so he says, but you're a child. But, Lord, encourage that one, even that little one, to call upon thee in that day of trouble. They may prove that thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. So, Lord, remember the little child, the little babe in arms, and all, yes, they have their concerns also, their troubles and trials. But, Lord, each one, from the babe in arms to the one that nears the end of his journey, the one that perhaps has been walking many years in this vale of tears, Lord, enable them to cast all their burdens upon thee. But that each one may prove like the psalmist. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So, Lord, remember each and every one in their individual paths. But, Lord, remember the dear young and the rising race. What dark and evil days we live in. Preserve and keep them, Lord, we plead. Keep them from the snare of the fowler. Keep them in the hour of temptation. Lord, especially as they go on into life and after, they go into those labours, labouring for the meat which perisheth, but also in their studies as they meet with those of the world. And all the temptations and the distractions and attractions that are before them. Lord, keep them. Hedge them about. Keep them tender of heart and mind and conscience. Lord, we plead for them. It is a difficult day. But thou art. There is help laid upon one that is mighty. May they prove it, O Lord. There is help laid upon one that is mighty. In all their felt weakness. Lord, we can look back to our own childhood and youth, and we couldn't keep ourselves. But it's by thy almighty power, kept by the power of God. So, Lord, keep them, we plead, by thy almighty power. Remember the parents in all that concerns them as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
undertake for them, grant them wisdom. Undertake for them also in all providences. Perhaps a growing family and all the expenses. Lord, may they prove that the gold and silver are thine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Lord, remember those in the midst of life then, whether it is the busy housewife, the busy mother, the one in the workplace, the one in the business. Lord, may they prove that they're that one that holds them up and holds them on amidst all the busy scenes and cares of life, that they may prove that as they go about their daily lives, there is that one to whom we can look. And have we not proved it? Lord, have not some of us proved it? Yes, in those busy scenes of life, thou art able to make the river of water in a dry place. And we've been broken in our very spirit, broken in our heart, and we've had to praise thee. Yes, as we've seen in the midst of life, in the midst of the busy pathway, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. That one, that friend that loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. So, Lord, do remember those in the busy mid-season of life when all the cares and concerns and the anxieties, and Lord, thou knowest. But, Lord, what a mercy. Thou art greater to us than all our troubles and burdens. The river of thy grace. There's a sufficiency there. There's a fullness that resides in Jesus our head, that ever abides to answer our need. Lord, remember also those in the even time of life. Lord, thou knowest their cares also. They feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Heart and flesh begins to fail. Lord, we know of one and another throughout the hills of Zion. Some, they're now in the homes, they're confined to their own homes, and some even in hospital beds. Oh, make that place of their abode a Bethel to them. Lord, make all thy goodness pass before them, we plead this day. And Lord, may it be even a Bethel to them where they are. What a mercy thou art not confined to place or means or mode. So, Lord, may it please thee, their last days might be their best days. Remember also any in affliction. There are afflicted ones, the babes in arms. There are some going on into life. Some in the midst of life and some in the even time of life, Lord, each one. If it could please thee, bless the means used. Raise them up again, if it could be thy holy will. Lord, if it could please thee in these afflictions, and hast thou not appointed it to come? Or may there be a perfect healing. May out of these things it might prove to be the life of their soul. A perfect healing. Lord, do them work mighty, we plead. Remember the afflicted. Remember those that look on. We think upon them. Also, they have a great need. Lord, perhaps they are brought to a place where they know not how to go on as they care for one or another. Grant them that strength sufficient for the day. May they prove, like the apostle testified, my grace is, as he approved in his own path. And he said, the word is penned, is it not, in the precious word of God we have before us. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so, Lord, do hold them up and give them strength sufficient for each day. Encourage them to go on as they have to look to thee and to thee alone. And so, Lord, sanctify the path sweet and the pain to each and every one. Lord, we plead for it. Remember also those with a peculiar, particular, perhaps a dark and distressing path, very singular. No one else knows, but all may they prove like Job. He knoweth the way that I take. That way that is appointed, very dark those paths are they not? But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Lord, they remember us also as a land and nation. Lord, we live in dark and difficult and evil days. Violent men are abroad in the earth. And those things which we've heard of in the past weeks, they make us tremble. False religions. And with those false religions, violent men, extremely violent men. And Lord, what a mercy. Be found sheltering under the shadow of the Almighty. Yet thou knowest how at times we are fearful, we tremble. But Lord, gather us under thy wings, Lord, we plead. And may we prove that our life's minutest circumstances subject to thine eyes, but not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Lord, remember those that truly love thee, that are caught up in these countries where there is violence, where they're persecuted for thy name's sake. Lord, undertake for them. Hold them up in the trying hour. But Lord, as we see these things and hear of them in the nations of the earth, we deserve also thy just judgments. Are they not thy judgments? And O Lord, when we consider this nation, we've turned thee the back and not the face. We sin against light and knowledge. And Lord, spare us, Lord, we plead. May we be found amongst those that cry and sigh unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. And oh, if it could please thee, turn us once again and we shall be turned. Lord, do then remember us in mercy. Remember us in mercy. But Lord, we're favoured to gather in thy courts. Do then make one with us now, we plead. Remember those that would be here if they could, those that perhaps are away. Lord, thou knowest whatever reason may keep them, or they are found in another place. Lord, favour them also, but Lord, gather with us now. We're in need. This poor ones, to whom can I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So, Lord, we plead, pour in of thy grace, that which is that sufficiency of thy grace. Lord, we know we're unworthy of it, but Lord, we look to thee, thou hast the words of eternal life. So, Lord, do we please to help us now, one to speak and give the hearing ears also and the hearts of understanding. Lord, the work is thine, the power is thine. So we would then fall into thy hands, into the, Lord, do us each good, then we plead, send an empty away. Pardon and forgive then our many sins. Oh, we would seek also for that help of those that take the desk. Lord, thou knowest the burden they have there. The burden of finding and the exercise of finding the hymns. Lord, we can look back to a time when, yes, from time to time we still do. It's 1156 hymns in the hymn book. Sometimes we feel we cannot find one. Settle upon one. It is a burden. Lord, do favour them. This burden is laid upon them. Lord, may they prove even in these labours, it is that labour in the Lord's name, that thou art in the midst of those things and the trials and the burden and exercise. Have we not proved it? Even the hymn can break us down. Come right where we are. So, Lord, we plead for all parts of divine service this day. Lord, help us now, and we plead. Pardon and forgive our many sins and all our failings and our often shortcomings. We plead for Christ's sake and his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 1089. Sold under sin was Paul's complaint. He felt its galling load, though he by calling was a saint and rightly taught of God. Hymn 1089.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, the verse which has rested upon my spirit, we found that in the chapter we read, Gospel of John, chapter 4, and verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? The quickening power of the Holy Spirit, that effectual work, that which is not of man, lest any man should boast, but all that time appointed to favour Zion, and was it not so, that time appointed with this dear woman, not of the Jews, but a Samaritan. And what a mercy it is that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. From every kindred, nation, and tongue. Sheep I have which are not of this fold, and they shall come also. They shall be brought into that fold that will be that time appointed. Now, cannot some of us rejoice that time appointed, we trust and hope it was so, we verily believe it is so and has been so. That time appointed, when it shall be, draw me, and we will run after thee. It's not of man running. Yes, there's much religion which is no more than that which is of the free will of man. But that which is real is of the Spirit. When the Spirit begins with a man, begins with a child of God, when that time appointed, yes, they're a child of God from all eternity, their name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Their love from all eternity is with that, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And it will be so, that time shall come. It surely shall come. And all that are named in the Lamb's Book of Life, there will be this time like this dear woman here. There will be that time when the Lord will meet with them. It may be in the house of God, it may be in when you're going about those things of your daily life, but the Lord is sovereign in his dealings and also in the way. We cannot map out that way for the Lord to deal with a poor sinner, but there will be that time, and it shall be a sure and certain work. It was so then with this woman, a woman of Samaria. And even the disciples wonder why he should be conversing with such a woman. No doubt she was notorious, was she not? But as we often quote that hymn, the foulest sinner out of hell, that lives to feel his need. And it is when the Spirit shows your need, then, and it's only then, until the Spirit shows your need, reveals to you the wickedness of your heart, the desperate case you're in, we know nothing of it. Yes, we may know that which is right and that which is wrong, but when we're brought under the law, this woman was brought under the law, but brought under the law, the schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. But until we're brought under the law, yes, we say we may know a measure of right and wrong, and it's a mercy even if there is that, but that will not save the soul.
It's a never-dying soul, and the whole need is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Who can know it? We know it not. In of ourselves, we know it not. But when the Spirit reveals to you, reveals to me the hidden evils of the heart, reveals to you and to me, what a sink of sin there is there. You will stand amazed at what is shown to you if the Spirit ransacks every corner of your heart. You'll have to say, like one, sinners of whom I am chief, of whom I am chief. You won't cast a stone at like this woman. You won't be able to cast a stone at any. There's enough in your own heart to be concerned about. If we sinned in one part of the law, we're guilty of the whole of the law. But and it's then the Spirit and that time appointed comes. Each one that is named the Lamb's Book of Life, there shall be that time, like this here woman. Does it concern you? Does it concern me? Has that work been begun? Have I known that real work of grace begun by the Spirit? We've been brought up under the sound of the gospel. We've learned in measure some of it, have we not? From a very babe in arms. We've learned it like the schoolboy learned his task. We're conversant with the word of God, but it's by the Spirit we want these things revealed to you and to me. I know I've quoted it before, but it was upon my spirit when the Lord deepened that work in my soul. Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal to me. It's a personal thing, is it not? It's your never-dying soul. It's eternity before you. You can look at others, but it's your soul and eternity. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Say unto me, I am thy salvation. But Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal to me the things of God. Make to me salvation known and witness with the blood. Oh, a hymn came to my mind this morning. I think it's William Cowper's. That hymn 281, and especially the last verse, hymn 281. Is that the language of your soul? You read the whole of that hymn, it begins, does it not? The Lord will happiness divine on contrite hearts bestow. Then tell me, gracious God, is mine a contrite heart or no? Dear old Cowper, the language of his hymn is often, is it not? Those doubts and fears, the burden of unbelief. Come like William Cowper then, I hear but seem to hear in vain, insensible as steel. If aught is felt, 'tis only pain to find I cannot feel. I sometimes think myself inclined to love thee if I could, but often find another mind. Is that the language of your soul, poor sinner? There's not one dead. There's not one dead. That's one quickened by the Spirit. When you were dead, you knew nothing of these things. You went on your way. You went on your way without a concern. Yes, and maybe from time to time, a little check of conscience, a little twinge here and a twinge there you felt within. But now it's, these things are reality, divine reality. You long for it. It's no more just notions that satisfy you. You want something known and felt. But this is what you feel within. That warfare, that constant warfare, risings high and sinkings low. I hear but seem to hear in vain, insensible as steel. If aught is felt, is only pain to find I cannot feel. I sometimes think myself inclined to love thee if I could, but often find another mind. averse to all that's good. Ah, the old man of sin, their warfare, what shall we see in the Shulamite, but a company of two armies, alike one of old? Why am I thus? She felt it, that those two armies, their two nations were within her womb. There's her warfare. Why, if it be so, it causes this question, does it not? If it be so, why am I thus? But it is so. It's a mark of that work of grace. It may not feel to be so, but it's a mark of that work of grace. Believers, that wrought in your heart, and it's of the Spirit, there will be this warfare. If it's of yourself, there will be not that warfare. There's not warfare with it, but if it's of the work of the Spirit, the Spirit's work, there'll be that which is of your old nature conspiring against it, and the adversary without. I sometimes think myself inclined to love thee if I could, but often find another mind averse to all that's good. My best desires are faint and few. Does that describe your case, poor trembling one? Your desires are faint. What a mercy if you have desires. The Lord has met you in a way. You have a desire, a longing, but there are, yes, at times everything that conspires, that warfare, as we said just now, is that everything conspired to try and damp it and bring it to nothing, but what a mercy. Though damped, it shall never die. Ah, I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand, not even the old man of sin within, but it feel like it at times. None can stay his hand. Or say, what doest thou? My best desires. Ah, to have a desire, a longing, that's that which is not by nature. It's a desire after Christ. Give me Christ, or else I die. Sir, we would see Jesus. Do you come up to the house of God like that? You can look back on when it wasn't so. You're satisfied with that form of entering into the doors, taking your place, and going home again. But now, the Lord has broken your hard heart and given a heart of stone, new and living desires. My best desires are faint and few. I fain would strive for more. Ah. Does that language of Cowper's, as we said just now, before, while we're in prayer, those that are concerned and exercise and burden as they give out the hymns, what a mercy it is if the language of a hymn as they're given out comes right where you are. The language, we have an experimental language in our hymn book. I know it's not the Word of God, it's not the Bible, but it accords with the Word of God. But when I cry, my strength renewed, seem weaker than before. Thy saints are comforted, I know, and love thy house of prayer. I sometimes go where others go, but find no comfort there. This verse was upon my spirit this morning. Oh, make this heart rejoice or ache. Decide this doubt for me. Is that your prayer? Oh, make this heart rejoice or ache. Decide this doubt for me. And if it be not broken, break. And heal it if it be. Oh, may it please the Lord then to favour some poor sinner. Oh, the Lord has met them. The Lord has met that one. And they're like this woman. Desiring that living water. As we say just now, not satisfied anymore with forms and dead rounds, but it's Christ. You desire Christ to be formed in your heart, the hope of glory. You desire to be fed with that food convenient for your soul, to sanctify, as we said just now, sanctify my soul. I am thy salvation. The dear Lord met this woman, that well. It did it not draw forth that which ours is entered into that conversation there, but it was at the time appointed, and all that might be in Zion this day. I'll meet thee there. I'll meet thee there. That time appointed, not to propose but call by grace. That time, when he will favour Zion. But he met this with a woman, did he not? And he asked her, for that drink of water. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? A woman of Samaria. Not, as it were, one of those of the Jews by birth, but she felt herself to be that one, separate. Do you feel to be yourself that one that's separate, even like I used to feel myself, outside of the secret? Outside of the secret, but dear woman, that time of the Lord favoured her. As we said just now, the disciples, they wondered at these things. They wondered he should be speaking to one that was lost, a wretched sinner, a hell-deserving sinner. And you'll wonder at it also as the Spirit reveals to you the nature of your heart. Reveals to you the nature of your heart, that sink of sin. And as the dear Lord began to deal with her there, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And from whence then hast thou that living water? He's not speaking of that natural water. He's speaking of that water. Christ, being the source of that water, that fountain of life. That source of grace, that river of grace, it's from Christ. It's from Christ alone. And it's when we are led and we partake of Christ. When some of us, we now sit around the table and we partake of the blood. We take of the wine, which signifies the blood, but also we partake of that cup, which is that bitter cup that he drank quite up in the sinner's room place instead, but also his broken body, the bread. But when we were led there, we're led into that. We trust there's a little bit whereby, In our very souls, we've tasted that he is gracious. We've tasted, handled and tasted and felt of the word of life, the word of his grace. It's been so sealed upon our heart, and it is meat and drink. We eat Christ and we drink into him, into his grace, into his merits, his death and his sufferings. In a room, place, instead of a poor sinner, and when we're brought to see it, it was for it was for me. Is that your desire? You long for it yourself. To be able to say, it was for me. He died for me. He died that I might live. That's that drinking of this well of water which Christ spake of to this woman. That living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. There's a spirit. When the Spirit takes up that abode in a poor sinner's heart, it's our well of water springing up into everlasting life. But oh, what a mercy it is, some of us, we prove that spirit, that well of water. When from time to time, yes, we're burned once again with sin, burned with those things we feel them within, but by the Spirit, we're led once again to view Christ in that fullness that resides in Jesus our head. That fullness of his grace. And once again, like dear David of old, yes, he was brought to acknowledge his sin when there was a thou art the man. The Spirit wrought in him, creating me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within. He had to flee again to this fountain open for all sin and uncleanness. Poor sinner, and we have to prove it again and again. There is that fullness there, a fullness that resides in Jesus our head. Yes, not just providential things, but concerning our need as a sinner, wretched as we are. And we find there is a fullness. Blessed be his holy name. And you, poor sinner, is this your longing? You long to taste of that living stream. You long for a sip from the well of salvation. The Lord has met with you. The Lord has begun with you. In and of ourselves, by our birth, we see no beauty in Christ. We see no beauty in Christ that we should desire him, but under grace. The soul desires Christ, cries out for the living God. That living soul, by the Spirit, you'll be led to look to Christ. You'll be drawn away from self. You'll be drawn away from self. Desiring Christ. Give me Christ. Longing to know Christ. To know my Jesus. Is that your desire? To know my Jesus crucified. By far excels all things beside. That's that longing for this living water. That longing for this living water. And that one that desires, the Lord will grant it. The Lord will grant it. Now, like this dear woman, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. It shall be in him. And you'll prove it also, poor, trembling, waiting one. Shall be in him a well of water, springing up into eternal life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water. Is that your desire? Sir, give me this water. That I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Blessed be his holy name. And like this dear woman, as you read that account again, she is brought to see. The Lord knew her. The Lord knew her heart, and see, he knew all about her. And she's, as we said, the Spirit will ransack your heart and show every, that Spirit, the light of the Spirit will ransack every corner of your heart and you'll be amazed at what you see there. Told me all things. Told me all things that ever I did. Has it been so then, poor sinner, with you? You come like this woman now, come, see a man that told me all things which ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come, see a man. There's that rooting. The Spirit's led you along. Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Your heart revealed. your need as a sinner, your wretched condition. But up before you have been shown to you, that remedy. That remedy. None can say that Jesus is the Lord until he takes the veil away and breathes the living word. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? There is that wrought in her. What did she do? She went. Did she not go into the city? Many of the Samaritans believed on the woman because of her sayings, which testified. I know when the Lord began, I trust when the Lord deepened that work in my soul, there as I looked and read many accounts of old of those that the Lord had dealt with them. And like this dear woman, she went and testified of those things to those of the city. And those that have gone before, yes, much left on record, and we thank the Lord for those accounts of old. And is it not so? Is it not a testifying in these things? There are, we read of that one, whereby they've been also led. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? And you're like Ruth of old. Yes, what a difference it was between Ruth and Orpah, those sisters-in-law, and their mother-in-law. What a difference it was. One, there was that divine reality wrought in her. One, it was no more than a formality of religion, a formality of love, as it were. It didn't go to the heart. But there was it not wrought in Ruth. Thy God shall be my God. Thy people, my people. Perhaps you've read of those accounts of others, and you see, they testified to those things of Christ, those things which the Lord revealed to them. And they spake of them, and it was left on record in their account of old. And it brings you to even like that. Thy God shall be my God. Thy people, my people. We read concerning that which this woman testified. He told me all that ever I did, and many believed on him for the sayings. But I know it was with this poor sinner, long for the Lord to speak in my own soul, that I could testify also of these things in my own soul in a personal way, like this dear woman. There were many that were wrought upon in this way also, and said unto the woman, as they went to hear what the Lord's, they went to hear this one, they went to see this one, that was their desire, and there they were able to say, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves. And know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. You long to know it for yourself, do you not, poor waiting sinner? Plead on. Plead for him to reveal himself to you like those there. Was it not that wrought in them? Their desire was answered. Whereby they could say, now indeed, now know that this is indeed the Christ. As we said a little earlier, none can say that Jesus is the Lord until they'll take the veil away and breathe the living word. There they could testify. There they could then testify. Now that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. For we have heard him ourselves. Is that then your desire? You long to hear him yourself. I believe if that's your desire, that desire will be granted. Wait for it. That vision, though it tarry, it shall come. I can't quite remember where that word is, but though the vision tarry, there'll be that waiting for, and there shall be that desire granted. For we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world, my Saviour. That's what you long for, is it not? Christ revealed as your Saviour. Christ formed in your heart the hope of glory. Nothing else will satisfy, will it? It didn't satisfy him. Nothing else would satisfy this poor sinner. And it might be by terrible things in righteousness. The Lord will answer them. But you'll rejoice in it. You'll rejoice in it, with that time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see and be able to say, like these here, not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me, the time is nearly gone. Is it touch upon the desire of one or another? Is that the burden of your soul? Yes, time fast hastens on, eternity before us. How stands the case, my soul with thee, and your soul? How is it was life shall last? How will it be when called to die? Say unto my soul, that's your soul's desire. Nothing else will satisfy. Christ revealed to a poor sinner. He revealed himself to this woman. Yes, she was a notorious, very wicked person in outward form. It was known by all. And some, perhaps we may feel, thankfully we've been kept from those outward forms of sin, but the wickedness of our heart. Heart sins, sins of thought and word, let alone deed. Some as we prove, the sins of the heart and thoughts. We tremble at those things that have risen in our heart. We are by nature, in our heart by nature, it's a sink of sin. It's ever bubbling up. But when it's revealed to you, you'll be like this woman. The foulest sinner, the worst of sinners, deep dyed. But like this dear woman, yes. As we said before, the disciples wondered at it, but she was that one, black but comely. Like we read in the Song of Solomon, draw me. We run after thee, and there is that drawing, that work of grace. Draw me, and we run after thee. You read in the Song of Solomon, there is an obtaining, was it not? I sought him upon my bed in the night season. Wasn't left waiting like that. Wasn't left without hope. But then I found him whom my soul loveth. I found him. I would not let him go. I would not let him go. I found him whom my soul loveth. May that be your... I believe if you're wrought upon by the Spirit, it shall be your portion. It will be so. I found him whom my soul loveth. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I have brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. That time of love. That time of love did come. It shall come. Blessed be his holy name. Come and see. Then there will be that testifying. Come and see. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Amen.
the collections last Lord's Day were £795, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening, and Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. Let us close with hymn 771. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Hymn 771.
dear Lord. The power is thine, the work is thine. And as it was, with that woman on that well that day, Lord, thou knowest one or another that have been, like that dear woman, and thou hast met them. O Lord, may there be at that time then they can also testify, come and see. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? O Lord, do then what might in each heart we plead, that good thing, the tender fear of the Lord, that desire after thee and after thy righteousness. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do be pleased to come up with again at the evening hour. Make one with us there. Lord, it is a fresh need for this poor one. And even this afternoon, Lord, grant sufficiency of thy grace and thy strength. Ah, we merit it not. But, O Lord, we have to prove that it is so. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Lord, do then remember us each now, we plead. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.